So in Minneapolis, I believe it's a half day today for the Derek Chauvin trial, accused of murdering. He's on trial for second-degree murder and manslaughter of George Floyd. And a reporter following it every day, sometimes in the courtroom itself, is Susie Jones. She's a friend of mine from Minneapolis, from Minnesota. We both worked there for a while. She still does. So she's been monitoring it closely. And I asked her if the highlight of yesterday's activities, yesterday's testimony, was Derek Chauvin's supervisor.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, just kind of recap people on what happened yesterday. We started the day with the girlfriend, George Floyd's girlfriend, Courtney Ross, testifying about their relationship.
Floyd came to me. He's like, sis, you okay, sis? I wasn't okay. He said, well, can I pray with you?
She was what's called, John, a spark of life witness, in that she was to humanize him and talk about what he loved to do, sports, eating, all kinds of things, but also talked about their drug use, that they both became addicted to opioids from pain that they both had and what a life they led for those 3 years with different drugs. She was very emotional, very compelling. And then we heard from two paramedics, the ambulance drivers who got there. And they kind of pointed out the fact that by the time they had gotten there, they both had thought that George Floyd was already dead at that point. But as you say, the really probably most important witness of yesterday was retired 3rd Precinct Sergeant David Pluger. And he was on duty that night. And he talked about, you know, that night and getting calls about excessive use of force or what they call a serious takedown. Also, John, we heard Chauvin on tape, on body cam tape, talking about what had happened, which was pretty compelling as well.
2:30 here. Yeah, I was just going to call you and have you come out to our scene here. Not really, but we just had to hold the guy down. He was going crazy, wouldn't go in the back of the squad.
You know, that was the reason for the use of force, is to get him under control. But it was interesting because all of that which happened, that sergeant didn't find out about Chauvin putting his knee on George Floyd's neck until after he was dead at the hospital. He had many opportunities throughout the night, throughout the conversation, to tell what had happened.
What is the implication there, that he was hiding the fact because he knew it was excessive, that he had done something wrong? Is that what they were implying?
The sergeant, obviously, he's seen all the video. You know, he was talking about use of force, and he was asked, should Chauvin have let his knee up once Floyd was no longer offering it, you know, not resisting anymore? I mean, it was clear in the video, we've all seen it, that there's a point in the tape where George Floyd is limp, not moving, not breathing. And the sergeant was asked, should he have ended the restraint at that moment? And the sergeant answered, yes.
But the defense attorney, Chauvin's attorney then countered and said, would you agree that there are times when doing police work is not pretty and can be violent? And he said, yes, that's true also.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he's trying to do. It's a tough job. They're out there every day. They have different people. They talked a lot about when someone is having a drug overdose and you bring them back from that episode, they often are violent. It was just in the past. I do know that when someone comes out of an overdose, from past stories, that they can be, you know, explosive.
We talk about these sorts of things on our show in Chicago sometimes, where we need to remind ourselves that those snapshot videos of a moment of police-civilian interaction, which can be so violent, so ugly, are often just snapshots. There's no full context there, that it is violent, dangerous work. It's not pretty subduing somebody sometimes. Sometimes people need to be subdued. So I think we need to be sympathetic to what we're asking policemen and women to do in the name of public safety, and sometimes that gets lost. I guess the question for the jury is this one of those examples? Is this one of those cases where prolonged extreme force was necessary?
And I think they're going to see videotape and will continue to see the same videotape or different versions of it many, many, many times that will show them that at some point George Floyd stopped breathing. And when someone is subdued, then you let off. I mean, it's actually interesting. I wanted to mention this to you before I forget. I heard word that Chief Madera Arredondo will be taking the stand this morning at 9:30. It's going to be a half day. Another issue that's likely to come up in this and is what's called, I'm sure you know, the sanctity of life. So once you have a person handcuffed on the ground, on his face, then it becomes your job as a police officer to protect the sanctity of life. Your job is not to kill someone. Your job is once you've got them subdued in handcuffs, it becomes an issue of sanctity of life. And, you know, that's what one of the ambulance drivers said. He's a human being.
Susie Jones reports for WCCO up there, is a friend of mine, and obviously we recorded that at 8 this morning, so about an hour and 50 minutes ago, the chief is on the stand right now.